these are powers available under the Public Health Act. It is a next step in the graduated, proportionate and scalable response that we're taking. I do want to make the point that in terms of Tasmania's current position, as of yesterday we had seven people that had tested positive to the virus. That hasn't changed overnight. This is not a reaction to an imminent threat. What this is a gradual and steady increase in the proportional way that we are dealing with this. And as I've said, Tasmanians are well aware of the state emergency provisions. We've operated under those before when we've had to face bushfires, but we are not at that point yet. And obviously, if and when we do get to that point, we'll inform Tasmanians. The other matter that I want to talk about today is that we've obviously been working very closely with our health professionals to ensure that we can meet demand. I'm very pleased that today we will be taking possession of K-Block. Practical completion has been achieved, and I'll be asking the Health Minister to say more about that in terms of the operational commissioning of that facility. Furthermore, this afternoon I'll be providing a ministerial update to the Parliament. In that ministerial update, we'll explain what we're doing to look after the health, safety and wellbeing of Tasmanians. But we'll also be explaining what we'll be doing to support Tasmanians and their jobs. It will be a significant response. It will be the first stage of our response with a further update to be included in the state budget when I bring that down in coming months. But what this is designed to do is to ensure that we can provide support for those businesses and industries that have been most affected immediately, and at the same time ensure that we provide ongoing work for Tasmanians, both in regional and rural Tasmania, but also in the major cities as well. And I'll have more to say about that this afternoon. It will be significant, and it will be, as I've said, the first step in terms of ensuring that we support Tasmanians in their jobs. One of the things I intend to outline this afternoon is that we will use the budget as an economic stabiliser for our economy and to support people to ensure that they can continue their work, and importantly, we can provide jobs for Tasmanians. Saying that, I'll pass on to the Health Minister.
I'm very pleased to announce that I have approved the acceptance of practical completion of K-Block. This was executed earlier this morning and the certificate has been issued. I'd like to start by thanking all the team for the hard work that they have done on this building. We know that this extraordinary project, $689 million, has been an enormous amount of work, our largest piece of health infrastructure, and over many years now, many people have contributed to make this building what it is. So I'd like to thank them, and I'd also like to thank the hard work of the project team and also those that have been working incredibly hard over recent weeks and months to ensure that we can reach practical completion. With regards to the outstanding issues that I had outlined previously, with regards to both water quality and also noise, I'd like to outline that significant work has been undertaken over the preceding weeks and months. Additional documentation has been provided by the contractor, and the project team has determined that the outstanding water and noise issues that there are can be addressed during operational commissioning. So with regards to those rectification works that are continuing, some of those will continue during operational commissioning. However, I've been advised that the risk of this is low and that they can be implemented with minimal or no disruption during the operational commissioning process. With regards to operational commissioning, the plan has been for this to be staged over a three-month program. So what we are doing now is working with the THS, our health professionals, to work out mechanisms to be able to expedite that, but also how to prioritise or reprioritise the areas. So that work is happening as we speak, and so this will come on in a staged process, and we are hoping to be able to see patients and staff in there as soon as possible. I'd like to reassure that through the operational commissioning process, as we resolve these final issues with regards to water and sound, that the safety and wellbeing of patients and staff is an absolute priority. We'll make sure that while these are happening, drinking water will be supplied for staff and for workers. So I want to be very clear that during this phase, we will ensure that the safety and wellbeing of workers, of patients and staff is absolutely prioritised. However, we do know that there are potentially quite significant demands on our health system going ahead with regards to COVID-19, and so we are taking every step possible to ensure we have maximum capacity within our health system.
Kieran, do you want to make some comments about the elevation?
Yes, certainly. Thank you very much, everyone. Dr. Scott McEwen, the Acting Director of Public Health. The Director of Public Health today will declare a public health emergency underneath the Public Health Act, and that's to ensure that the Director has sufficient emergency powers to control in Tasmania the threat of the COVID-19 pandemic now and over the coming months. With the spread of COVID-19 increasing internationally and nationally, many important cases have occurred from overseas into Australia and also into Tasmania. And strong powers are now needed to ensure the implementation of evidence-based public health measures in Tasmania that are proportionate and that are scalable in the months ahead. And these are aiming to keep people in Tasmania, to protect them and to control the transmission of disease when it occurs in Tasmania. COVID-19 can be severe, and there are no specific treatments that currently exist. And public health measures are required to mitigate the risks to both human health and the impact on our healthcare system. These emergency powers are broad, and they include the ability to issue directions to people such that they are required to quarantine or isolate, to ban people from entering particular areas, to require people to be removed from particular areas, and to take any action that is required to manage the threat of COVID-19 to public health in Tasmania. While most people who will get COVID-19 will experience a mild disease, it can be serious and fatal for some, and an uncontrolled epidemic of COVID-19 can cause very high demands on the healthcare system. These powers will allow the Director to implement public health measures to help slow COVID-19 spread in Tasmania when it occurs, and to protect people most vulnerable to severe disease, such as our elderly Tasmanians. This will help reduce demand on our healthcare system. These emergency powers will initially be used to support the banning of mass gatherings and requiring of people arriving in Tasmania after recent overseas travel to enter a 14-day period of self-isolation from their time of arrival. I must stress that these emergency powers reside with the Director of Public Health. Depending upon the development of the COVID-19 situation in Tasmania over the coming months, these emergency powers will enable the Director to require further proportionate and evidence-based measures that are suitable to the local pattern of disease that we experience. The status of this declaration will be reviewed regularly, and I think it's really important that this declaration should not alarm Tasmanians. It does provide the Director of Public Health with broad and strong powers, and it is intended to protect public health in Tasmania. So our key message from Public Health is to keep calm, continue to go to work and school if you are well, wash your hands regularly with soap and water, cover coughs and sneezes, practice social or physical distancing, keep informed as well regularly by accessing our Department of Health COVID-19 website, or if you have specific questions, please call the Coronavirus Health Information Line. Thank you.
Questions? Might start with Dr. McEwen, if that's okay.
Yes, certainly.
We have heard some instances of people who believe they know people that aren't self-isolating that should be. How, I suppose, disappointing is that, and what kind of risk does that pose to the general public?
Certainly these powers do mean that we can impose orders on people to require them as individuals to remain in isolation. We'll certainly explore the use of those powers should we receive verifiable evidence of any concerns. It is important though, while we do have the powers, we do need to understand how we can support people to adhere with the isolation or quarantine requirements, and that's part of our routine public health response today.
And I know we haven't had our first community contact case yet, but how will we know when we have our first one of those if we're not testing people unless they have a connection to the virus?
There is testing that's occurring, and certainly if anyone in hospital, there's certainly testing of people who meet the criteria in terms of returned overseas travel and also having been contact of cases. But there is also testing that's occurring within hospitals for anyone that presents with a moderate or severe pneumonia. Even in the absence of a history of travel, they are being tested, and certainly healthcare workers as well are tested should they present with suggestive symptoms as well without any history of overseas travel.
Is there much risk that just someone, you know, walking around in the community could have picked this up somewhere or?
At the moment, we believe that risk is low, but we are preparing for that eventuality, and that's why we need to have these powers in place so that we can make sure we can keep Tasmanians safe.
Have you organised and discussed penalties for people who are in breach of these orders?
So yes, when we have these powers, there are penalties. The powers do require an order to be issued, and then we need to make a decision whether or not, if someone breaks that order, whether there will be appropriate charges followed. But again, I'd like to stress that we'd like to support people to be able to adhere to these requirements.
Are you concerned about the upcoming flu season and the impact that might have on the Tasmania's health system, given we're still in the midst of coronavirus?
Certainly, I think of the upcoming winter season is we will face our typical flu season. Our measures today that we've announced will help us also to control coronavirus and protect vulnerable Tasmanians during that period. We do have time before then, and we are preparing the health system to cope with those challenges. So we will need to continue as health professionals and within our healthcare system to be very prepared for the months ahead.
How many test results can actually come back each day?
It depends upon actually the number of tests that are being processed. So our labs are currently processing all of the tests that are requested each day that go into our laboratories.
What's the maximum number of tests that could be done in a day?
I don't have that actual number, but we do have the capacity to significantly step up our testing capacity when required.
A number of public health experts yesterday, from Professor Simon Chapman onwards, said they sent a letter to federal and state ministers asking that pokey venues, including casinos, be closed because of unacceptable risks to health. What's your position on that?
Look, our position is that we should await what information will be provided, we expect today from National Cabinet, or tonight or tomorrow. The Australian Health Protection Principal Committee was meeting yesterday and today to provide that advice about what the ban on mass gatherings and other environments in which there are risks, what that looks like in detail. So while I can't comment on specific examples, there will be further information that will come out that will allow those sorts of decisions to be made.
Just on the K block, given the virus, would you look at maybe, you know, changing the purpose of wards just while we get through this virus in the new K block to help patients?
Well, we'll take whatever measures are appropriate to make sure that we've got the maximum preparedness for COVID-19. That could be around rearrangement, that could be around redirection of resources. That work is happening at the moment. We need to ensure that we've also got continuity of other parts of the hospital, and so that's also a focus to make sure that we have minimal disruption to other important services the hospital is providing Tasmanians. But we are making sure that we're exploring all options with K-Block, and that's going to happen progressively over the coming weeks and months.
Did you push forward the opening of K-Block at all to deal with the corona crisis?
Well, look, we've been wanting K-Block to come online as soon as possible. The fact that we're at a point in time where a number of progress has been made on those issues and we have received further documentation, we are in a position now to be able to take it. But those minor rectification works, as I outlined earlier, will continue through the operational commissioning phase. But the advice that I've received and the advice that I've had from the experts, and we have been engaging experts on those rectification issues, is we can resolve those with minimal disruption throughout that operational commissioning so that we can have it ready for patients as soon as possible.
A petition circulating online with GPs calling
gone for more conservative measures, such as schools being closed for 3 to 4 weeks, restrictions on travel and the like. Is that something the government's considering?
Look, I've seen that open letter, and I mean, I want to reassure Tasmanians. I mean, I know that there is concern in the community, and I understand that. We're seeing quite confronting images from other jurisdictions, particularly in Europe. But the government has been taking action. So, as outlined by the Premier, over a week and a half ago, we escalated to level 2. We've already established respiratory clinics. We're escalating our preparedness within the THS. We're working with GPs. We're currently negotiating capacity with private hospitals and aged care. We're assessing elective surgery to ensure that that's managed appropriately. And as just outlined this morning, we're moving to a public health emergency. We've seen restrictions on mass gatherings. We know that we're going to see further advice today from Federal Cabinet. So there are a number of steps that are being taken. I want Tasmanians to feel reassured that we're being very proactive. However, it is an evolving situation, and so I would urge Tasmanians to be able to take care with their own personal hygiene, have awareness of how well they are, to make sure that they're referring to the websites which are updated regularly, to ensure that the information that they're accessing is the most relevant.
Are you concerned that this is an opinion of dozens of GPs around Tasmania, and they've expressed these concerns and are asking for more action? Does that concern you?
Well, as I've outlined, there is a number of actions that we have taken over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, over the past 2 weeks and over the past 2 months. So action is escalating every single day by the government. We do that based on expert advice, and we will take no hesitation to take any action that we deem appropriate on expert advice to protect the health and wellbeing of Tasmanians.
With all the new beds and wards and everything to open in K Block, how will we have the staff to actually work in that block?
Well, we're engaging now with our entire workforce on ways to be able to manage that. We know that with regards to increasing capacity, there are always going to be limitations on capacity, both either physically but also with staff. This is why we are working with our staff. This is why we're working really productively also with our unions. I'd like to thank them for the work that they've been doing to make sure that we're working together as a team to ensure maximum capacity within Tasmania's health system.
Just a quick one for Dr. McEwen on blood. So what's the effect of coronavirus on blood? Do we actually need to test all donations? And what's been the experience overseas upon about the usage of blood during the health crisis?
It's a very good question. Certainly the Red Cross in Australia will be assessing the risk around the risk to Australia's blood supply, and they'll be undertaking an assessment there. Blood is required as part of the treatment of anyone with a severe disease for a transfusion or other cause. So they'll certainly be currently assessing risk and putting in place the appropriate risk management to ensure that they can protect that supply of blood, but also protect anyone that requires a transfusion.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.